has become a thing. Started with boo. Then it went to if. So today we're going to talk about first. Now those don't necessarily all connect in an even flow, but Scott has assured me that he's going to make sure that happens, because that seems to be the pattern of what we do now. But what I want to talk to you about is something that, again, as you've heard me say about many other things, it can become so familiar that we lose the importance of it, the priority of it, and the passion for it. And that thing is prayer. Now, don't turn off on me there when you go, I've heard about prayer a million times. I want to take a look at it in such a way in Scripture to hopefully stir and awaken us to what an incredible privilege this is that we so often neglect for various reasons. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Maybe it's because we feel like we can handle things on our own. Maybe we feel like somebody else is going to do it for us. Whatever the case may be, the need and the privilege and the opportunity of prayer is something that oftentimes goes neglected in our lives. A couple of statements, things to think about before we look at the text. And I want to give you some practical stuff too. And one of the first things that I want to deal with is there's no particular set ironclad way to pray. Jesus gave the example, of course, of the Lord's Prayer, and we'll talk some about that. But I think one of the things that would help release us in our prayer lives is we realize the most fundamental fact of prayer is it's a conversation. Just happens to be with the Creator of the universe, but it's a conversation. And so when we begin to approach it that way, hopefully what happens is it changes how we communicate and how we listen and respond, because it is in the context of a relationship. Here's some thoughts I want to put before you. Prayer occurs when you depend on God. Prayerlessness occurs when you depend upon yourself. Oftentimes when there's a drought for prayer in our lives and things have dried up, it's because we got this. It's all under control. But the minute the wheels come off the wagon, what happens? Hello, Lord. All of a sudden, desperation begins to set in. Some reasons to consider of why we might not pray. Pride keeps us from praying because it overestimates the power of self. Unbelief underestimates the power of God. Ignorance overestimates the difficulty of talking to God. And time underestimates the value of being with God. Ronnie Floyd wrote a book on prayer that helped me many, many years ago. One of the quotes that I got from there I wanted to share with you, he said, effective prayer occurs when you talk to God and listen to what God is saying to you. Prayer involves listening to God as much as it involves talking to God. Prayer is a relationship, a fellowship that occurs between you and God. Prayer is the vehicle that takes you into the privilege of experiencing fellowship with God. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look and learn some things about prayer. If you don't know the context of what's happening here, Paul is writing to Timothy, who's the pastor at Ephesus. He's young, and he's trying to instruct him and help him. Now, you would think that there would be several things that Paul would initiate in Timothy's mind as how to lead this church. What's most important, Paul? What's the priority? What should we give attention to? What's Timothy need to do? In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, therefore I exert first of all the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ and I'm not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also... No, let's don't get into that verse. We'll stop at verse 8. Lifting up holy hands without doubting. One of the chief deterrents for prayer is doubt. It's just going through the motions, not really believing that God can do anything. With Him, all things are possible. Doesn't always go like we expect it to or want it to, but the truth is, He can do anything at any time, and we have no greater resource anywhere than God Himself. Oftentimes what we might find ourselves doing is trying every other option first, and then going to God. When the reality is, with the foundation of prayer and our relationship with Him, kind of prepares us for the circumstances that life brings to us, so that hopefully He guides us through it, rather than us screaming and hollering for us for Him to get us out. Let's take a look at what Paul's saying here. He uses the word exhort in verse 1. And it's a Greek word that means to call to one side. It also gives the connotation of guidance and maybe even correction. And what he's saying to Timothy is, come here, listen to me. I've got something very, very important to say. I exhort. I'm calling your attention, because what I'm about to say is so incredibly important. And that next thing he says is, first, before anything else, before we get caught up in all the madness and craziness, not only of life, but in this context, he's talking to him about pastoring a church. He didn't say, Timothy, create a vision statement and cast vision. He didn't say, go get a strategy and initiate all those steps. He said, Timothy, first, pray. Yet oftentimes it becomes one of the least, if not last, things that we do. So it tells me, as Paul's instructing Timothy here, if he would put such a priority on that, then so should we. I'm grateful for what I'm beginning to see and experience here in terms of the priority of prayer. And we're learning, and we're all learning together. And you know, one of the most challenging things about learning to pray is unlearning all the perspectives and things that have been put on us over the years about prayer. That there's only certain ways and times, and you know, we talked about that too this morning in Sunday school. So a lot of times it's a process of getting all of these preconceived notions out of our head and our minds that we have developed that create what we believe prayer to be. And instead to take time to look through Scripture and to learn not only the biblical part of it, but the practical side of it in terms of the outworking of prayer in our lives. And that, again, it's not some religious routine or activity. It is a privilege to communicate with the Creator. So he draws his attention and he says, here's what I want you to do first. I want you to pray. And he says something interesting. He says, giving of thanks be made for all men. Uh-oh. Not just some. Not just what we're comfortable with. Not just who we like. But those that we don't like. For those of you who do have people in your lives that you don't like, you need to know that Paul says to Timothy, here's what I need you to teach the church. They need to be praying, and guess what? They need to pray for everybody. Yes, even that person. And then he defines it a little bit when he says, for kings and all who are in authority. Now he's meddling. He's quit preaching and gone to meddling, because he's saying even those authority figures that you have issues with, the best thing, the most important thing, the first thing you need to do is pray for them. Now, maybe you don't struggle with that, but I do. That can be very conflicting if we're in a situation, whether it's national leadership or any type of leadership in an organization that we're a part of. We may not like those in authority over us. Paul said, pray for them. Why, Paul? Here's why. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And then he kind of adds to it very effectively when he says, for this is good. and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. How important is it when you learn that something that you do is good in the sight of God, and it's acceptable? To me, that puts a priority on it, right? He's not only saying it's the first thing that should take place, he's saying it's so important that it's good. God says, this is good, and it's acceptable in my sight. If I can do something that's good and acceptable to Him, I want to do it. And so it begins to raise the stock of prayer, if you will, that it's not only just that communication, but that there are some consequences, some good consequences, results that come just from the fact that we're praying. And praying not necessarily the way that we want, but the way that the Bible teaches, which is for all men, even those that we don't want to pray for. There's several aspects of prayer that I just want to mention to you. And really, what I'm dealing with is much more of a, really just a quick, it may not feel that way, but a quick overview of some things about prayer. Praise is an aspect of prayer. When you go back and you look at what Jesus taught the disciples, because even they came to Him and they said, what? Lord, teach us to pray. And He said, here's how. And you know what happens next. Our Father, which art in heaven. It started with that. Hallowed be Thy name. It didn't start with, God, here's what I want. This is what I need to see happen. Da, 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 da. When Jesus was teaching the disciples, He said, here's what comes first. Him. Praise. An acknowledgement of His holiness. Praise, worship, those things. Then as He moves through that, He begins to deal with needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, now it's time to say, okay, God, here's what I need. And here's what I'm asking from You. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Part of prayer that we tend to neglect is confession. Dealing with the stuff in our lives that kind of clogs up the communication. It never messes with the relationship, but it can mess with the communicate. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear me. That's what the psalmist wrote. He doesn't say that if I've sinned, God's going to ignore me. Because if that were the case, we're all sunk. But what he says is, if I regard, if I keep hanging on to it, if I keep that as a priority over Him, there's a problem. It's not that God can't hear, because He's God. It's that He's saying, you need to deal with this stuff to open up our fellowship and our communication. Praise is an aspect, provision is an aspect, and confession is an aspect. What do I pray for? If Paul is saying to Timothy, this is the priority, this is what you need to do, then we need to learn some things about it. What do I pray for? Even in chapter 8, verses 26 through 27 are those verses that talk about the fact that there's times we don't know what to pray for. And it says, but the Spirit of God prays on our behalf because He knows what to pray for. Now, I don't know about you, but that gets to a whole other level of prayer. Not so much that I don't understand what it's like to get before God and say, I don't even know what to say here. Have you been there? You know what I'm talking about? When the pain's so great or the circumstances seem so impossible that you don't even know where to start. Yet the Word of God teaches that even in those moments, the Spirit of God, and it's that same Greek word when Paul's talking about exhort, it's the same root that we get for the Spirit of God, one who comes alongside of. The Spirit of God gets involved somehow in a way that I don't get. Now, I don't claim to understand it, but that's okay. I don't have to. I just know that it's so important to God that He says, help Him. Help Him get it out so we can communicate. Help Him pray. That's a whole other thing, but that tells me that God not only loves us so much that He would provide that when we just can't get it out and don't know what to say,
But that tells me that it's so important to Him that we connect even when we can't muster up the words. That tells me prayer is a priority. That it comes first. He mentions different parts of it. Supplications, prayer, which tend to be more for specific benefit. Prayers in general. Intercession, which is on the behalf of someone else. And I'm not going to get into that. It's a whole other thing. And we'll talk about that later. And then he talks about giving of thanks. Is it as interesting to you as it is to me that thankfulness and gratitude is so important that God puts it as a key element when it comes to praying? You know why? Because if we stay thankful, we realize what He has done, what He is doing. Because sometimes the blessings and all the good stuff get overshadowed by all the chaos and all the bad stuff. And so He puts in here to be praying for others, yes. But take time to give thanks so that you can remember that the same God you're praying to is the same God who does answer and does bless you. And even though it may not seem like it's going right now, we can look back and go, oh yeah, He did do that, didn't He? He did come through here, didn't He? So it helps to build our perspective in prayer. All right, just a couple more things and I'm going to wrap it up. And I acknowledge that this is much more of a teaching deal than a preaching deal, but I wanted to build some type of foundation about prayer so that we can dig a little deeper, dive in a little further on this, because it is so critically important, so much so that Paul says, do this first. Before you do anything else, do this. Practical thoughts. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. That is incredibly hard, if you're going to be honest. But part of practicing the whole function and privilege of prayer, part of that is just being with Him. Be still and know. Does it blow your mind like it does mine that God says, I just want to be with you. Be still. And know. Experience me. It's hard to be still. Part of me just wants to sit here in silence for about 10 minutes and see what happens. But dinner's on the way. But on a personal level, practice what it is to just get before God and go, okay, here I am. You may find yourself get fidgety. You may feel the compulsion just to, I've got to say something, I've got to, and the whole time He's going, be still and know that I'm God. It's enough just to be in His presence because He wants that. A little 5-year-old sitting next to me, when she just wants to be around Daddy, guess what? I'm holding all your calls because I want to be with her. How much more so that our Heavenly Father loves us so much. No matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, He says, I want you to be with me. And let's just be still for a minute because I want you to know me. Being still is a good practical principle. Being biblical. Learning about prayer like we're doing right now. Another Ronnie Floyd quote, an open Bible should always accompany a bended knee. You know why? Because sometimes you may pray for something and as you're studying the Word of God, the answer goes, boop, there it is. He may have already answered it. We just got to get to it. Meditate on things, which is similar to being still. But move on the things that you learn in prayer. Act in faith. Could be that you're praying about something and the whole time God's going, I think we've already talked about this. You need to go do this and then we'll get here. Maybe it's when you're trying to figure out as a church what happens next and where do we go and what does it look like. Maybe the whole time God's going, tell you what, first of all, if you'll pray, we'll talk. And then we can go somewhere. If you put the cart before the horse, it gets chaotic, crazy, in a hurry. All right, so what do we do with it? You're not going to believe how simple the answer is. Pray. We can learn about it all day long, and we have not even remotely scratched the surface. There's so much in here, so much rich, relevant truth from the Word of God about what it is to communicate with God through prayer. We can pile on so much information and get so bogged down that we never actually, believe it or not, you ready for this? Pray. We can know everything in the world about it. But it's the practice of it that puts us in the presence of Him, of the One who loved us and gave Himself for us. And now says, I want to be with you. And I want you to know me. He doesn't have to say, I want to know you. You know why? He already does. And you know what's even better? He knows everything and still wants to be with you. That's the God we serve. And that's why I believe it's so important that we learn what it is to pray in order to engage His presence. Let's stand together, because I'm going to pray. Lord, I have to be honest to say that in order to preach something like this, I got to go through it myself. And I've got to feel the weight of knowing that I don't pray enough. Not as some religious routine, but just cultivating that relationship. So first and foremost, for myself and for all those who struggle in that same way, forgive us for taking it for granted. Forgive us for making it a routine. Forgive us for losing the awe and the wonder that You want time with us. Forgive us for the times that we've tried to take matters into our own hands and we've fouled it up, and then we come running to You and ask You to fix it. Forgive us when we doubt, for You taught us that too in Your Word, to pray and to lift up holy hands without doubting. We confess sometimes it's hard, so give us the faith to move beyond that, to realize that You can do anything and everything at any time. Nothing is impossible with You. Lord, I pray today for those who are maybe struggling with this, or maybe they've grown cold to it. Would You renew a passion and a fire and a hunger in our hearts for prayer? Not for the activity, but for the awesome privilege that it is to know You deeper, to be able to bring all the stuff and the junk of life to You, and to be able to say to our Abba Father, Daddy, please help. Lord, I pray that we would take these things and do something with it as we close out with the time of invitation of response. Then, God, You move on people the way that You see fit, whether they need to come and pray. This altar is never closed. It's always open. It's not about a routine. So may we end this time together today responding to You in prayer. Move in our midst. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.